Message this evening, three false followers. Three false followers, three false disciples. You know, we dealt with three things last week. And you know, our Lord Jesus, He knows the heart, He knows the intent, He knows the motive in what men do. And remember last week while they were reasoning among themselves who should be the greatest, our Lord, perceiving the thoughts of the heart, said a child. So you know, there's three things last week. His disciples' pride, their persecution when they said, or their prejudice when they said, there's one who didn't follow with us, so we forbid him from doing anything. And another one, you know, James and John, they wanted to call fire down out of heaven. So there was persecution, and our Master answered every one of those, every single one of those. And here are three separate men. I told you about three men here. One said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And another, the Lord said, you follow me. And another said, Lord, I'll follow you. So you got three separate men, each with a different temperament. And as these men here began talking about becoming followers of Christ, not one of them does it. Not a single one does. They talk about it. One is even told to do it, and he don't do it. All the reason, all the excuses. And all of these men, none of them have a name. Just says certain men. Certain men. It wouldn't make any difference, but all of us has met these people. Met people like this. And I suppose that our Lord let us see this because there's so many people that make confessions or say they're going to follow Christ. And to keep us from getting discouraged, that our Lord even had people who said, I'm going to follow you, and did. So, you know, He... And this, the difference in Him and the way religion would have done it today, if somebody said, I'm going to follow you, they'd have him teach Sunday school in 3 weeks. Ain't that right? They said, oh boy, we're just so glad to have you. Just so glad to have you. That's what they'd have been going on. And you notice the Lord doesn't turn any one of these men away. Doesn't turn one of them away. But He exposes their insincerity. He exposes the motives behind their heart. Now in these three men, there's no... Now I'm going to notice this about these three men. It's talking about following Christ. Not one of these men mentioned anything about sin. Said a thing in the world about sin. They had no... There was no mention of sin, no sense of sin. There's no mention of repentance. You know, everyone who came to Christ, they come, when they come to follow Him, they came with a need. They came as sinners. They came with a great sense of their need. And you know, not one of these men here, the first one said, I'm going to follow you. He didn't say a thing in the world about it. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need you. Would you save me? God be merciful to me, the sinner. I've heard about you with the hearing of the ear, now my eye sees you, and I'm going to get down here in front of you. Like those three lepers that came down off the mountain and they fell down before Him and said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. None of these men said anything about being a sinner. The weight of their sin, their guilt, their shame. Not one of them said anything about it. Not one of them talked about repentance. Like the prodigal did, said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Not one of them said anything about that. And not one of them mentioned anything about I need you. I need you. I'm weak. I don't have any faith. I don't have any ability. They didn't have a need at all, not one mention of any condition they were in. They're like so many people, they get religious by themselves. But everybody that gets religious by themselves, they get irreligious by themselves. And what they gain by themselves, they also lose by themselves. A multitude join the church and never get joined to Christ. Multitudes make decisions and open their hearts for Jesus, but the Lord Jesus has never opened their heart. It's not us what we do for Him, it's what He does for us. It's not us coming to Him, and we won't come to Him until He first comes to us. That's the way the Scriptures teaches us. And so here they are. There's, you know, in these men, there's no plowing of the Holy Spirit here. There's no digging deep to get to the rock and lay the foundation on the rock. So when a storm comes, they didn't even meet a storm. All they met was just the insincerity of their own hearts. There was no foundation mentioned here. And our Lord, He didn't reject them. He just exposed them. And like I told you last week, when He exposes the sins of His own disciples, He exposes my sin. When He exposed the sin of their pride, He exposed mine. When He exposed the sin of their prejudice, He exposed mine. When He exposed the sin of, oh, we'll cause fire to call down from heaven, He exposed my desire for vengeance. My desire and the wrath that's in me exposes all these sins. And now we come to this business. Three more things that happen here. And our Lord has an answer for every one of them. Look at this first man's declaration. Look what he says here in verse 57. That as they went in the way, a certain man. Now in another place it calls him a scribe. In Matthew chapter 8 calls him a scribe. That means he's a teacher. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh my, he made this declaration. Lord didn't ask him. Lord didn't call him. Lord didn't say, well, you're going to take up your cross and follow me? No. He just jumped up, excited, saw some miracles, saw some of the Lord's work, saw a big crowd around him, and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I don't care where you go, I'm following in behind you. Now, he never asked what that meant. What does it mean to follow you? Where are you going to go? He didn't ask where he was going to go, where he'd end up at. He didn't ask what it involved. And oh, he was as sincere as far as he knew. But his problem was he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything. And he was a man of resolve. He said, oh, and a great resolve. He said, I will. I will. He had great confidence in himself. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. He didn't say like so many did, and so many have. He didn't say, Lord, please, please help me to follow you. He didn't say, Lord, hold me up, lest I fall. He didn't say, Lord, keep me. He didn't say, Lord, don't leave me to myself. He didn't say, Lord, if you don't keep me, I'll fall out by the way. He just jumped up and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. No, he had made up his mind. He said, I'll follow you. Oh, he got so excited, really impulsive. And he trusted in his own heart, his own ability, his own resolve, his own confidence. But the Proverbs 28:26 says this, a fool trusts in his own heart. A fool does. But look what our Lord does. He undeceives this man. He undeceives this man. Our Lord said to him, foxes have holes. Foxes. He uses natural things. Foxes have holes. A fox comes out at night and runs all over the place catching rabbits and mice and everything else he can get. Daylight rolls around, he gets right back in his hole, gets right back in his den. Birds, see them birds? That bird's going to go over to his nest, he's going to light, and he's going to set in his nest. He got a place to roost tonight. But you say you're going to follow me everywhere I go? But he said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. What he's saying here, if you follow me, you're going to follow a friendless man. You're going to follow a man that don't even have a home. You're going to follow a man that when everyone went to their own home, Jesus was left alone and went to a mountain to pray.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're going to follow. If you're going to follow me, you're going to follow a man despised and rejected. Do you want to follow me in my sorrows? You want to follow me in my griefs? You want to follow me into the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you want to follow me into Pilate's judgment hall with the suffering and the sacrifice and the hatred and the animosity? Do you want to follow me into Herod's judgment hall where they mock me with a crown of thorns and a purple robe? You want to follow me there? You want to follow me and die with me on the cross? Do you want to follow me and die with me? Do you want to follow me when they lie on me? You want to follow me when everybody denies me and I'm left alone? You sure you want to follow me everywhere I go? You want to follow me when God turns His back on me and I have to cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, my. Say, you going to follow me? Oh, there'll be self-denial. That fox got a place to go. If you follow me, there'll be places where you'll lay your head down. It'll be, won't hardly be like good as a fox had got. There's going to be suffering to endure. Took Jeremiah, when he began to preach one time, they said, Jeremiah, we're not going to listen to this. And he took a scroll in there before him and before the king and before the elders. And God had gave it to him. He read it out to him. And the king said, give me a pen knife. He got a pen knife and he took that word of the Lord and he took his pen knife to it and started cutting it up. He said, take him now out there in that pit. And drop him down in that pit. And put him in a muddy pit to his up to his shoulders. Armpit. And drop a little bread and water down there every day. You will follow me? Go follow me. You going to take up that cross every day? You going to identify with me? You're willing to sacrifice? Will you really follow me? I think he changed his tune. Look at the second one. Look at the second one now. And then our Lord said, He said unto another, follow me. Follow me. Now listen here. I'm going to tell you something. Christ said, follow me. Follow me. Our Lord gave this man a distinct and a deliberate command. And not only said, follow me, but He says, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go preach the kingdom of God. And when our Lord said, follow me, many did. Look over here in Mark chapter 1 with me. Many, many did. When our Lord said, follow, He walked by Matthew sitting there one day collecting taxes, a publican. And he said, follow me. He just got up and left the place where he was collecting taxes and left the money and everything else and followed him. He told Zacchaeus, come down out of a tree. Zacchaeus, come down out of a tree. Told Lazarus, come out of a tomb. Lazarus, come out of a tomb. And there's a multitude of people that he called, and they have followed him just like that. No second question, nothing was said. They just jumped up and followed him. Look here in verse 16, Mark chapter 1. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Watch it now. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when going just a little farther hence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in their ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And he went by one time where Philip was at. He said, Philip, follow me. In John chapter 1, he says, and Philip arose and followed him. Right? That other fellow said, I'm going to follow you. Here our Lord gives a man an express command. But now watch what he says. Watch what he says. And this is what happens so many times when a man hears the gospel. And the command comes, we tell men and women, follow Christ. Come to Christ. Go lock, stock, and barrel to Christ. Give everything away to Christ. Now watch what he says. But he said, Lord, but every time you find a but. But, he said, Lord, And here's his problem. Suffer me. Suffer me. His me first. That's his problem. Me first. Huh? Oh, reason he wasn't going to follow me, and it was a natural thing. It's a natural thing. I want to go bury my father. Now, I read that what this some men thought that this meant that his father wasn't dead, just let me go home and stay with my father till he actually dies, and then I'll bury him, then I'll come follow you. But he probably, if it says, you know, he let me first go and bury my father, that's a natural thing to do. But suffer me first. What this meant, beloved, that his heart was somewhere else besides on Christ. His heart was on his relations. His heart was on natural things. You see, he'd be a disciple and he'd be something else at the same time. I'm going to be a disciple, but I got things to do here at the house. I won't be a disciple, but I got things that I got to take care of over here. That's what his problem was. But I tell you something, beloved. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be first. When he comes into a man's house, he ain't going to go back in the. He's not going to go in the servants' quarters. He's not going to go where. He's not going to go to the place where you put the worst bed you got in the house and the sorriest seat you got in the house. When he comes in, he's going to take the first place. Or he's not coming. He's not coming. And he didn't come to be second to my father, your mother, my sisters, my brothers, my children, your children. He didn't come to play second fiddle to nobody.
Amen.
And that's why so many people would not follow him. That's why there was over 5,000 turned and walked away at one time. And he turned to the 12 and said, you also going to go away? They said, oh, this is a hard saying. He said, I already told you. I've told you this before, that no man can come unto me except my Father, which has sent me, gives it to them. And they scratched their head and said, oh my, he is just so hard. He is just so strict. He's just so straight. He said, except you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be mine. If you love your father and your mother more than me, you can't be mine. You can't be. It's not that you can't. I'm not going to have a divided heart. I'm not going to have you loving me and mammon at the same time.
Amen. That's what he says.
Huh? That's what he's telling this fella here. Oh, beloved, our Lord teaches us here that nothing, no one, absolutely no one, mothers, fathers, civil, social relationships, can come between the soul and him. Can't do it. Huh? And that's the way so many people are. I'll follow him when? 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 And that's why so many people say, I'll follow him when? And just put anything in there you want. I'll follow him when? I'll be a Christian and act like one when I get everything else done. But look what our Lord said to him. He said, let the dead bury their dead. What he's saying is, let the world take care of the world. You go preach the kingdom of God. The world has got plenty, plenty, plenty to take care of the world. Huh? There are dead people to take care of dead people. Really? And all the dead issues of today that they bring into the church, let the dead take care of that. We didn't talk about politics. Nope, let the dead take care of that. There's plenty of dead people out there to take care of that. Well, let's cry out social issues. Let's cry up against abortion and pornography and drinking and nakedness. And let's cry up all that. Let the dead do that. Go preach the kingdom of God. That's what our Lord's saying. Well, we need to have a something for all the kids. We need some gymnasiums. We need some entertainment so we can get folks in here. And let's get them all in. Well, that's not what if our Lord meant to increase his numbers, all three of these men would have become disciples that day. If that's all he is interested in, just increasing numbers.
Yes, sir. Number, Yeah.
He had three people join the church that day. Ain't that right? Huh? Boy, boy. But I tell you, there's plenty of dead people that'll entertain folks on the road to hell. But living people, now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Living people follow Christ. Living people follow Christ. Out there, we have to deal so much with the dead out there. And we're kind of like old John Newton. He says, you know, when I have to go to the world to take care of business, it's like a man going out in a pouring down rain without a raincoat. He wants to get in and out just as fast as he can. And that's about the way it is. Huh? But all living people follow Christ. Living people follow Christ. Look at the third one now. Here's another volunteer. But his heart's not where it should be either. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee. But all in the same breath. All in the same breath. I will follow you, but let me first. You know, the other one's me first. This one's me first.
Let me first.
Uh-huh. Another said, also, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. That looks simple enough. Let me go tell everybody goodbye. Let me give you some illustrations. Look over here at Genesis 24. Could you imagine Abraham saying that when God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you arise. Get out from among your kindred. Get out of your country. And go unto a place that I'll show you. He didn't have a clue where he's going, but he knew God told him to get away from his kindred and get out of his country. And he done both. This fella here starts out saying, I'm going to follow you, but I got to go see my kinfolk. You know, we do that when we join the army, and we join the service. You know, we want to go home and tell everybody bye, and let them see us off, wave us bye, and take us out to the airport, and wave us bye, and we get real emotional, all that, and oh, I'll see you back, you know, and we do that. But boy, when it comes following Christ. But look what happens now. This is where Abraham's servant, goes gets a bride for his Abraham's son Isaac. And they went down there to get Rebekah. And he had been down there and showed Rebekah all the jewels and gold and raiment and talked about Isaac and his master and how wealthy he was. And oh my, and he says in verse 54, and they did eat and drink. He and the men that were with him and tarried all night, and they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Now watch this. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel bide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go. She didn't say, oh, I want to stay. You know, mama wanted her to stay. Her brother wanted her to stay. But boy, she had seen her master. She had seen all that her master had. She had heard about Isaac. She had heard about her love. She had heard about all that he had, all he possessed, and his gold and his glory and his clothes and having everything. And she said, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go. It's like Paul, you know. He says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, I immediately conferred, not with flesh and blood. This fellow wanted to go home saying, you know, I'm going to go be a Christian. I'm going to go join the church. I'm going to go show them folks up there what it's like to be a follower of Christ. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to go show these people how it's done. But all remember where Ruth told Naomi, said, will you go? I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. The only thing that's going to separate us is death. And oh my, his problem was he was looking back. Look what it said there in verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, no man. Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow, now watch this, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Now I've never plowed with a horse. I plowed a little when I was a young, when I was just a kid for an old farmer down southern Ohio. But I do know that you got to keep your eye in front of you. You ain't gonna plow doing this right here. You're not gonna do that. It's not gonna work. You can't be looking this way and going that way at the same time. And that's what our Lord's saying this fellow's doing. He's plowing one way, but he's looking another. Can you imagine what that road would look like by the time he got to the end of it? I don't tell how much that wouldn't even been plowed. Just skim top of the ground. That's what our Lord's saying. He uses such simple earthly illustrations to show us how easy it is to miss him. And oh my, this man's looking back. He's looking back to where he come from. He's looking back to his home. He's looking back to his family. Those looking back, like Lot's wife, they want to go back. And remember Lot's wife? She looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Our God said, leave and don't even look back. He said, if you look back. She looked back because that's where her heart was. This man's heart was someplace else. It wasn't on Christ. And our Lord can't be followed. Christ can't be followed with a divided heart. Now, beloved, we honor our fathers. We honor our mothers. We honor. After I got converted, I honored my father and mother. When I was unconverted, I didn't. But after God saved me, I honored them. Treated them right. Still want to treat them right. Still do. We love our relatives. I love my children. I love my brothers and sisters. Love my cousins, the ones that I'm around, my aunts, my uncles, when I get a chance to see them. But when it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ, between them and Christ, I'm going to honor them. I'm going to honor them because my master told me to. But when it comes to following Christ or them, there's no decision to be made. None whatsoever. When I get an opportunity to be around them, I'm going to treat them right. I'm going to love them and honor them and speak respectful of them, speak respectful to them. But I'm not going to let them affect my relationship with Christ. No. You know, Moses could have stayed in Pharaoh's palace. You know, he was Pharaoh's son. Pharaoh's daughter picked him up out of there, and he was raised in Pharaoh's palace. Had the best education, wore the best clothes, had plenty of money, best food. His family folks was down there suffering persecution. You know what happened? He saw his people down there, and he said, I'm going to go down there and identify with them. You mean you're going to leave Pharaoh's palace? I am. You're going to leave off those clothes and go down there and identify yourself with a bunch of slaves? A bunch of people that suffer an affliction? A bunch of people that's despised and hated and mistreated and slaves? Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Yeah. And let me show you this in closing over in 2 Timothy, and then I'm through. You know, that's the reason. Our Master, when He calls us, He calls us effectually, and cleans us from our sin. We don't think about anything but Him. Our relationship with Him is everything. He's our life. But look what He says here in Second Timothy 2. Let me read a couple of verses. Down in verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, my endure hardness. Hardness of looks, hardness of heart, hardness, hard sayings, hard trials, hard battles. And oh, you endure that hardness as a good soldier of Christ. There was many a night, I'll tell you this, many a night that I laid in the rain, pouring rain, just laid there. Many a night. And there wasn't nowhere to go but just lay there in it. Rain beating down on you. No place to get. Or you're wet. Everything you got's wet. Day after day after day. And that ain't nothing. Absolutely nothing. Compared to what I've already... What I feel. Now, I don't know how to say this. But the trials that we endure here as believers, that's just earthly things. And everything's temporal. And if I was willing to suffer that and thought nothing of it, why would I think anything about enduring hardness for Christ, who did so much for me? And watch this, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That they may please him. Now watch this now. Who hath chosen him? Chosen him to be a soldier. Chosen him to be a soldier. Larry and I mentioned just right before the service started. He told me that, you know, they're going to send 4,000 Marines. The rest of them going to be Army when they're going to increase the men going to Iraq. I said, boy, I'd go in a minute if they'd let me. He said, yeah, age just won't let us. Age won't let us. And I'd go in a heartbeat just like that. If they let me. You know why? It's because he saved some other young man. It'd be the right thing to do. And if I'm willing to do that for our country, how much should we willing to be and do and suffer for our blessed Savior? Our Lord Jesus, our gracious Father, how blessed is your holy name. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you let us read things like this that causes me to look again at the relationship with you. Look at my great need of you and the dear saints' great need of you. Lord, don't let us be deceived. As these men were deceived and you undeceived them, you exposed them. Oh, Lord Jesus, if it's in us and we're like this, expose us. Don't let us be deceived. Don't let us go to our own understanding, our own way. Lord, please keep us. Please preserve us. Please shield us. Please protect us and guard us. You're the shepherd, and we the sheep. And we need leading, we need guiding, we need protecting, we need preserving. We need all the things that would hurt us and harm us and destroy us, kept away from us. And oh Lord Jesus, we ask you to keep them away from us, preserve us from them. And God bless this word tonight to the hearts of those who gathered here. Meet the needs of this dear congregation. Strengthen and encourage your people. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need.